Baltimore Dogs are in the SEC Championship game.
And nobody's got you covered like us. Because the game is everywhere. The SEC plays here.
WZGC Atlanta, WZGC HD1, a radio.com station.
Atlanta Sports Radio, 92.9, the game.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9, the game, as the NFL week kicks off with the Packers and Seahawks tonight on WAOK. Start to look at Falcons and Cowboys a little bit. By the way, in the NFC South this week, Panthers, Lions in Detroit, Bucks and Giants in New Jersey, and then the big game down in the Swamp, Eagles and Saints. Can your Eagles win that game?
John.
Not a chance.
Yeah, I don't know. Stranger things have happened. Now, we went down to New Orleans and served them up real good now. Remember a couple times going out there beating the brakes off to the Saints, but this one's gonna be a tall. Drew Brees on another level right now.
He's
like, seriously.
Playing.
I know Falcons fans don't want to hit that. Hey, man, I'm a realist. I'm TP. I'm TP in this situation. But yeah, he's on another level. It's gonna be a tough task.
You know, well, they got Brandon Marshall now. Ed Des Bryant for a moment.
Most fascinating stat for me with him is the fact he still only has one interception. When you think about how many passes quarterbacks throw and sometimes balls get tipped and stuff like that.
The way he's playing and his health, you wonder if he could play quarterback. We talked about it was kind of the joke about, you know, Tom Brady, I want to play till I'm 45. I wonder if Drew Brees can't play till he's 45.
I tell you what, John. This is when I think of Drew Brees. What was it, AT, 2-3 years ago where they were talking about his shoulder and he might be done? And they were talking about there were concerns about it
because he supposedly couldn't throw the deep ball.
Mm-hmm. Man, listen, man, like this is sad to say, but and I'm not accusing him of anything, but boy, when he came back on fire, and you're looking like, hold up, what workout program was he on? Like for real, like he's a special guy. You talk about his work ethic. You talk about what he's had to overcome, what he's been through. And what he's doing right now, he's a special QB. No question about that. No hate for me on that because he's on fire right now.
And what kind of numbers if he plays another 3-4 years? He's already the leading passer.
Those stats out of reach, but in this day and age, this NFL.
Yeah, right.
It'll probably be in the next 10 years.
Right. You'll have
Matt Ryan might be able to be a position. Matt Ryan might be a position to break those records. You never know.
My takeaway from yesterday at Flowery Branch was that was kind of twofold. At first, I thought, just kind of talking to some of the players who weren't really super excited about talking yesterday, was that you got a sense that they were really upset about what happened in Cleveland. And I kind of extrapolated a little bit from that, Hugh, and that is that I got a sense that they got worked over by their coaches. I think they got a talking to.
Not like you think, John. It's not like, you know, Coach Quinn went in there and was browbeat. You guys suck. Not like that. It didn't go like that. It was more like, you know, you guys are better than this. I can't believe it. I'm surprised because we've worked so hard. I know you guys. I hold you to a higher standard, that kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
As a defensive player, man, I can remember vividly when we had bad games. It used to make me sick to my stomach because I knew I was better than that. I knew I was better than the way I played. And then to sit there, the worst thing that you could do to me on Monday was have me watch the film of my play from that Sunday.
How many times did they play that 92-yard run?
They probably played a lot. And it's like when you start looking like that's the one time where they used to always say, the eye in the sky don't lie. And you guys are looking. And look, Coach probably, I'm pretty sure Coach said, who's on the ground on this play? Who's giving maximum effort? Who's running to the ball? Because even though you might not be able to catch Nick Chubb and he's gone, who's giving maximum effort? Who's out there trying to get to him? I mean, because that's all it's about. I remember we were watching a film when I was with the Jets, and it was Alonzo Spellman, and it was a run play. I forgot who the running back was, but I remember it was him because they were the whole premise of watching the film was talking about effort. And the play broke. He was on the other side of the field, John. And the play broke away from him. and he ran the play down from his pursuit angle. He ran it down and made it. And that's the kind of effort that you have to have on every play. That's the kind of effort that you have to have. And then when you look at the way that this defense has been piecemealed together, like for guys to go out there and lay that kind of dud, that's embarrassing. And if you have any kind of pride about yourself, you don't want to watch that film. You don't want to put that kind of effort out there again. You really don't. So it wasn't like Coach Quinn went in there and was MFing anybody or cussing. I don't think he did that. Coach Quinn doesn't skew that way. It's more about, you know, a pride thing, especially when you play on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, and nobody called out the team more than Devondre Campbell did in an interview with Dave Archer immediately after the game. The one that we played on the postgame show, and of course was played multiple times and has been cited, where Devondre Campbell said, you know, we didn't take them seriously, and whatnot. And that Devondre bite, we wondered a little bit about how this might work because, you know, here we are going into Wednesday, and would Devondre get called on the carpet for kind of speaking that kind of truth and going a little bit outside the team? Well, it was so interesting to us because there's a setup outside the locker room where they always bring one player to speak in a crush situation where all the media is there before we go into the locker room, and it's a chance for everybody to ask this one player, sort of the spotlight interview of the week. The Falcons chose, here comes 59 walking up, and all of us are buzzing. They chose Devondre to talk, and we all said, well, this ought to be interesting. We expected that Devondre might come in, Hugh, and say, you know, I probably shouldn't have said what I said after the game to Dave Archer and blah, blah, blah. Guess what? Not what he said. Instead, Devondre said this.
Well, what I mean by mindset is just the communication piece, everybody knowing what to expect. Like, when we went into the walkthrough, it wasn't even nothing that had to be said compared to last week where I just felt like we were kind of slow. You know, everybody wasn't in it. That wasn't the case today. So we off to a fast start as to where we wasn't last week.
Yeah, he just basically said, I was right. Last week we were off to a slow start. We never got into it. So what happened in Cleveland, Hugh, began on Wednesday of that week when Devondre is now saying we were slow to begin with. Forget Sunday. We were slow to start with.
I hear.
It's fine. It's good. I'm glad he did.
Well, it might have been that, John. It's one of those things where when you have an outing like that, when you have one of those outings, you tend to soul search a little bit. And you try to go back and you replay what could potentially be the start of you kind of becoming complacent. And for him, that was that moment when in practice and their energy level and things of that nature. So it could have been that. It could have been that. It's one of those things that when coach says, hey, we're going to go back to the drawing board, and I know people hear that, and they say, well, what do you mean? You know, you're professionals and da-da-da-da-da. When you have missteps like that, when you feel in your mind that you've done everything right leading up to that week and you don't have the outcome that you want to have, then you go back and you process every part of that day where you feel like you've did the same thing. And if something is different, you say, okay, well, it must have been this. And for Devondre Campbell, it was that day coming back to Wednesday where they didn't communicate well. So you take that and you say, okay, well, in order for me to have a better outcome, I'm going to start my day off differently. Because you got to think, John, you got 16 weeks of doing the same thing every day, the repetition every day. And anytime that something goes wrong, you go back and see how far you deviated from what you did the couple weeks before that worked so well for you. So that's what you do. So that's basically what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where some days you go out there, John, you can do everything right. But some days you go out there and the bear just gets you. Sometimes you get the bear, sometimes the bear gets you.
And make no mistake, as a fan, what I'm hoping for is he's absolutely right. Because if they got the message about what they did last Wednesday leading up to what happened on Sunday, and they were correcting it, as he said in that soundbite, not the case today, this being yesterday, that it was last Wednesday, we got the message. If you hold any hope, and I do hold hope, that this team can make some kind of a tremendous second half run, and we've seen tremendous second half runs from Dan Quinn teams before. Last 2 years, 7-1 in the second half. Last year, 6-2 in the second half. If they've got a tremendous second half run in them this year, then what happened in Cleveland might turn out to be just a good thing. Because if they needed to get their attention, they certainly got it. Now I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but if that's what happened, Hugh, all right, let's go. I'm good, and so I'm not necessarily upset.
I'm trying to unpack it. As you're breaking it down, and I understand what you're saying, But for me, it sounds like, you know, hey, you said this, kind of clean it up a little bit.
Well, I think that's why they brought him out.
Yeah. You said this, clean it up a little bit. But yeah. I have no problem with that, man. It's just like this, man. You're still alive in this playoff hunt. Go get it done. Tired of hearing about this, that, and the third. Still don't understand why your sense of urgency was not heightened going against Cleveland. I still don't get that, but that's neither here nor there. Get the job done this weekend against the Dallas Cowboys.
I tell you what, we are seeing the growth of Devondre Campbell, too, into a team leader, and I think that's a very good thing. Deion Jones is running mate. So Deion's in the locker room yesterday, and we're all waiting to see what the word is. Will Deion be activated for the game and play against Dallas? Here's what Deion had to say.
Everything. Anything I could, I've been doing to get back out there with my boys. And just taking it day by day and communicating with Q, communicating with the coaches and the trainer room, make sure I'm ready to go when I go.
All right, so we are going to wait. As Dan Quinn said and told us and said again, reiterated in his address to the media yesterday, the doctors have cleared him. The question is, you know, we're going to do right by the player. And we'll see what happens, and I think the decision will come on Friday. I think you and I are both of he's not going to play. But
I don't think so.
Yeah, if he does, you know, then I'm good with that too. Devondre Campbell, also in that news conference that he had yesterday, talking about Deion returning to join him side by side.
He's a huge part of our team. He's one of our defensive leaders. Everyone knows what he's capable of doing on the field, but the impact he's been able to have off the field is just as huge.
And one more reaction, there was a lot of it. Sherrod Neesman talking about the vantage point from the secondary of having 45 in front of you.
I mean, when Deion is out there on defense, he makes a world of a difference. He is fast. He plays like the center field. He can be here and there. He can be to the play, you know, to the ball at any moment. He has the quickness and ability and mental capacity, you know, so he'll definitely be around the ball for a fact.
All right, so we get Bruce Irvin and get his feet underneath him, and you've got maybe some more question marks about the offensive line of the Dallas Cowboys, and who knows if Bruce and Tack and Vic can get that NASCAR package revved up against Dak Prescott. You have the potential return of Deion Jones. If not, I think it's fair. Is it fair to say, Hugh, that if he doesn't play against Dallas, he's definitely going to play against New Orleans?
He's not playing against Dallas, John. I think we can probably just throw that out there. He's not going to play against Dallas. I don't see him playing against Dallas. Against New Orleans, yes. All hands on, if he's ready to go, yes, definitely. And he will be out there full tilt. I think that's what Coach Quinn is waiting for. You know, it's funny with the human body, a couple more days of healing could probably do him a tremendous amount of good. So don't rush it. I think that you have enough, especially when you look at what Dallas is dealing with over there. Half of that D-line didn't practice. So, you know, they're a little banged up as well. You're going into this game. I need Deion Jones healthy as you can possibly get him before I can make this run, because you're going to need him. The worst thing you could do is rush him out there, John, and him get hurt again, and you set yourself back, and now we're really sitting here asking ourselves, what are we going to do? You don't want that. You definitely don't want that. I understand that everybody wants him to play and we need him and everything like that, but we're not playing checkers here. We're playing chess.
I hear Devondre Campbell talking. I heard him after the game. I heard him yesterday. I hear what the guys are saying in the locker room, and I get a real sense that we all think that right now this season's going to boil down to 5 days. 5 days. Sunday against Dallas, Thanksgiving against the Swampers. Those 5 days determine where we go with this season. It's either going to be – by the time we wake up on Friday morning digesting what we had to eat the night before, you know, from the New Orleans game, we're going to know where this team is, whether this season – by next Friday, Hugh, a week from tomorrow, we're going to either be talking about draft picks or we're going to be talking about, all right, here we go, Deion's back, let's roll. You know, I mean, I think that's really – the whole season boils down to this 5 days.
It does. It definitely does. No question about that.
It would be really interesting to see. I just hope that my gut sense is right.
I know, John, you all up in your – see, you got me sitting here, and I hear your enthusiasm – because you're a Falcons fan. I mean, I'm a Falcons fan too, but you're a super fan. And I'm trying not to say anything that might, you know, cause you to have any heart palpitations.
Well, if the season's over, the season's over. There's nothing I can do about it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but it's not that's not the case yet. And even if they lose to Dallas, it's not over. You're on life support.
Huh.
You're definitely on life support.
Yeah,
you're calling relatives. You're definitely going to be calling relatives from hither and yon to you know, come holler at you, you know, for last rites. But that does not mean you're done yet. But it is going to be a tough one. And boy, playing against the Saints, like this is the thing. Not looking ahead, but for whatever reason, if it doesn't go right for Dallas, then going into New Orleans, ooh.
Yeah, but
ooh,
if you don't win a
better bring some flowers.
You know, I talk about a late season run, but if you don't win at home right now, you've got to go play at New Orleans, at Lambeau Field, ooh, and we assume that's going to be in the snow, and at Carolina, and at Tampa. I mean, that's just, man, that's a lot.
Was it Ed Oliver, Houston Cougars? We'd be on the Ed Oliver hunt, but we won't be that. We won't be able to get him, but I'm just saying. That, you know, just being, you know, sarcastic, I guess.
You might be able to get him because some of the people are saying that Ed Oliver could slide to 8 or 9.
Falcons are going to be picking 8 or 9, John?
Depends on how they finish the season.
No, we're not about to do that. We're not about to be picking 8 or 9. We ain't about to do that now. Come on now. We ain't about to do that. Maybe 15, somewhere around there, but not 8 or 9.
What he was saying, that we figure that's going to be with the case with the Hawks. We're not trying to
you know what
start
I'm saying?
That.
John, he's going from one extreme to the next, ain't he?
No, I was just saying, you know, I mean, depending on, you know, how it goes, I have full faith. You know, I continue to be half full. I'm always going to be that. I'm going to be driver of the bandwagon, keeper of the Kool-Aid, and I got a half full glass of Kool-Aid here that I'm willing to drink if they can beat Dallas, and I think they will. See, I think they're going to win against Dallas. I just think they're going to beat the Cowboys. They're at home. They're the better team, in my opinion. So, but they were the better team against Cleveland, too, so you never know.
You might want to eat some of your green bean casserole early.
Yeah, I was just thinking that because, I mean, John, it's kind of like you kind of thought they were going to win every week, though, to be totally honest. Not to be the bubble burster.
Did Swapper over there just call me out on Thanksgiving dinner?
He did.
He did, mm-hmm. Really?
I'm getting tweets that saying this green bean casserole, if it's done correctly, mm-hmm, is pretty fire.
I agree.
Sadly, I will never find out the joys of green bean casserole.
Same here.
Because
we'll
I ain't about to do that.
Don't worry. There'll be no green bean casserole served on anybody's tray down in New Orleans, right?
I'm going to leave you alone right now.
A reporter asks Nick Saban about whether he's going to play Tua against the Citadel. You can probably guess how that answer went. Well, we have the audio, and we're going to play it next.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Who wants a ring?
It's the greatest show on turf.
Championship mindset, let's go.
Be focused, get in there, and open a can, all right?
Championship right here, boy.
Go.
And this season, it's in our own backyard. Keep listening as we bring you Super Bowl 53.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Thursday, college football tonight. There are no major games this evening on the college football slate. In what is the worst week of the year. Man, it's a bad week. College Football Notebook brought to you by Dixie Vodka. Football season means tailgating. True Southern tailgate. Not complete without Dixie Vodka. DixieVodka.com. Dixie Vodka is made in America, and by God, it is raised
my
in the South.
Gosh.
Right?
But given what you just said, will you even spend a lot of time watching games this week?
Well,
no.
My team,
slate isn't very good.
My team plays, and you know I'm interested in that. My wife's team plays, and mm-hmm, so she's interested in that. Okay. So I mean, I have some, you know, and underboss finagled me and into doing the college show with. I mean, with Chuckles the Clown and all those people that I got to do it with.
Whoa.
And we didn't wonder, say that, John.
And you wonder,
we didn't say that.
You wonder why they come at your neck like they do.
Who is Chuckles?
Names.
Oh, okay.
I was about to all say, right. You really had to figure that one out?
Yeah, no, I did.
And by the way, I love doing the show with him because he's just such an interesting guy.
I went over my head.
He's one of my favorite people. I actually do enjoy doing the show.
He's just as big a college football fan as you are.
And we go into it. You know, he gets on me, I get on him, and it's all good. So I got to do that on Saturday, which is fine. I mean, I'll come in and do the show. But of all the weeks to do the college show, this one, where, you know, I got to sit here and Randy Mack, and I got to look at him and say, Randy, what the, who are you playing, Randy? What the hell? Because look at the lines this week. I don't know. You're not a degenerate gambler, are you, Hugh?
No, not at all. I like to keep my money in my bank account.
Auburn is a 29-point favorite over Liberty. 29-point favorite over Liberty. Tell me, by the way, are you willing to take any of these underdogs? Do you want Liberty and 29 against Auburn? Florida is a 40-point favorite over Idaho. The Vandals of Idaho. I'm willing to bet that 90% of the audience doesn't even know the nickname of Idaho. They're the Vandals.
Huh.
Well, you're.
We should just pick the college games on if they'll cover the spread or not this week.
No kidding. LSU is, which we could do, by the way, LSU is a 44-point favorite over Rice. Okay? Georgia is a 44-point favorite over UMass. And I got to believe Georgia's going to cover that. And Alabama is a 52-point favorite over the Citadel.
You watch the games differently than I do, John. I look at it like this. This is the calm before the storm. And as much as these teams have beat up on each other all season long, they need a little bit of break during the season. I just look at it that way. Because you look at the SEC and how they womp on each other. They womp. And the fact that Georgia's offensive line is banged up. You want UMass or whoever they're playing this weekend. You want that team right now. You want that. You want them to get healthy going into this SEC championship game. If you don't get that, then you go into that game banged up, not being able to get healthy, then, boy, it'll be an ugly game. Not only that, you're going to Georgia Tech. You're going to play Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech. But this is something that I hold against the SEC. The fact is, everybody, is Nebraska playing the Citadel? No, or Michigan State? No, they're playing each other. I mean, Nebraska's playing Michigan State. There's like there are real games going on. Indiana is playing Michigan. There are real games going on in the Big Ten, right? I'm just saying. There are real games going on in the Big 12. Not for the SEC. And this thing about, well, but we play our rivals the next week. Well, so does everybody else. I mean, you're not special. I mean, everybody plays their rivals. What are you talking about? I mean, it's just kind of silly. But I would like to see them go to 9 conference games. Having said that, do you play, by the way, quickly, do you play Jake Fromm this week or do you rest him?
I'm playing for a quarter. I don't want you to get rusty. It's this rest versus rust thing. I don't think that anybody deserves any time off. I think you play him a quarter.
Well, there are a lot of questions as to whether Tua – now, Jake Fromm's not dinged up, best we know. Tua is dinged up. And so the reporters in Alabama are asking Nick Saban, hey, might you want to rest him in this route of the Citadel?
Given the amount of hits that Tua's been taking recently, is there any consideration at all this week to whether – you said you didn't want to limit reps of practice, but limit snaps or – in the game, is there any consideration to limiting some of that?
No. No, why would we do that? I mean, say this was not an important game or he doesn't need to play or, I mean, I think we need to do a better job of the people playing around him doing what they're supposed to do so he doesn't get hit. And he needs to do a better job of stepping up in the pocket and getting rid of the ball, which he had several opportunities to do. So, some of these hits can be avoided just by better execution, and I think that's what we're going to focus on, not trying to take a guy out of the game so he can't improve or do what he needs to do to get better, or we need to do what we need to do to get better as a team and develop some confidence in each other.
Develop some confidence in each other?
I love Coach Saban. I love that.
Develop some confidence in each other?
Yeah, and that's why you just heard why. Coach Saban is considered the best coach in college football right now. That's the reason why. Because no matter how good you are, there's always stuff that you can do better.
Wait a second. Let me get this straight. You need to develop some confidence in each other when you're going for your 6th national title in 10 years, coming off back-to-back shutout wins over LSU
Never
and
satisfied.
Mississippi State.
Never satisfied.
We don't have any confidence in ourselves.
Never satisfied. That was pretty dope, man. I tell you, that's how you stay on top, though, John.
Yeah, but if he puts him out there and some guy from the Citadel breaks free in the tackle of his life and hits him and shatters his knee.
I don't think he's going to play. But Coach Saban has to make it seem like he is going to play. You have to. He'll probably play a couple series, but he's not going to play the whole game. I mean, you can't. You can't leave him out there. But that's why Coach Saban is on top like he is, because he doesn't get complacent. And that's all I heard. It was funny, you know, and I know that people listening, are you kidding me? You're the best team in college football. Da-da-da-da-da. Man, listen, you don't get that way by feeling like, you know, we have arrived. In essence, John, you've never arrived. You never arrived. No matter what the journey is for a football player, you never get there. You never get there. And that's the part of coaching where that's the toughest thing to do. Like, if Matt Ryan goes out there and what's the highest QBR, 150? That's the QBR rate, the highest you can be, 150 or something like that.
It's like 153.8 or something like that. Yeah.
Whatever the QBR is, I guarantee you, if Matt had a QBR 153 or whatever and threw no picks, four touchdowns, completed every pass, he's going to go into that meeting and be like, yeah, Matt, you could have did this better. Did you see this read right here? You could have hit this receiver. That's just how it is. That's how football players are wired. Anybody that's played the game knows exactly what I'm talking about. You go into that game, you go in there, you could have, as a defensive line, you could have a sack game with like 8 sacks. Hey, you know what? You missed that 9th one. That's just how it is. That's how you're wired so that you never get complacent. You never get to the point where you feel you're comfortable.
Well, I sure as hell hope Alabama gets some confidence and develops some confidence this week when they play the Citadel. Man. And then Georgia, you can make an argument that Georgia is playing, their opponent is the worst opponent of the week, and that includes Georgia Tech playing Virginia. Obviously, UMass is not Virginia. That includes Georgia State playing Appalachian State. Appalachian's better than UMass. That includes Kennesaw State playing Jacksonville State at SunTrust Park. Jacksonville State Gamecocks are probably better than UMass. So, I mean, I'm just saying, Kennesaw State's opponent is probably better than Georgia's opponent this week. They are certainly better than Alabama's opponent. Jacksonville State, far sight better than Citadel. Kennesaw State is a far sight better than the Citadel. Kennesaw State would kill the Citadel.
There you go. I have no retort for all of that, John Fricky. I'm going to let you have that.
Okay, I know. I get it right. But that Kennesaw State-Jacksonville State game, which is a first ever football game at SunTrust Park, is going to be kind of fun too. And that's a showdown too, because Jacksonville State's top 10. Kennesaw State is number 2 in the nation. And Jacksonville State has had – by the way, Jacksonville State, for those of you who don't know, is Jacksonville State, Alabama.
Yes, yeah, HBCU.
Is it?
I think Jacksonville. Am I thinking of this right school? I'm not sure. Let me check it. Let me see my JSU, right?
JSU, yeah. In Alabama.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that. Jacksonville State is ranked, I think, number 8. And that'll be the first ever football game at SunTrust Park. So it'll be kind of fun to see SunTrust Park and how they configure the, you know, a football field laid out at SunTrust Park for that game between KSU and JSU on Saturday. And Kennesaw State could, listen. You know, we keep talking about not having national titles around here. Georgia's still very much alive. Kennesaw State could win.
No, I'm thinking about somebody else. No, that's not it. Okay. Jacksonville State is not an HBCU.
Okay, not a problem. No worries. Kennesaw State could win a national title. As they, you know, of course, they got to go through. See, the problem with Kennesaw State is they got to go through North Dakota State. North Dakota State is the Alabama of that. I mean, they just keep winning title after that. Carson Wentz is old school, and they just keep winning title after title after title. All right, we get ready for beatdown week. Again, what did you call it?
Bring forth the sacrificial lamb. You didn't give Daryl a chance. We had a sounder for this now, John, but you kind of threw us off with that. I don't know why that
The guy was sad.
It tickles me so much when he does that. It
sounds like a weak version of that Vikings horn.
Yeah.
He was so sad when he blew it.
Yeah, well, their schedule's bad.
Oh, that was just even worse. Even worse.
Hey, you want to go see Sebastian Maniscalco? He's going to be at the Fox Theater on Sunday. We have 2 tickets to the third caller at 404-741-0929. Caller number 3 is going to win 2 tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco. The Stay Hungry Tour is live at the Fox Theater on Sunday, and tickets are available at Ticketmaster. When we get back, we venture into that area known as usual.
Yes, well, I talk about somebody who had a great week, and then it just all went downhill when he got his likeness all jacked up. I'll tell you what I mean about that on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Hugh's World has been brought to you by Camus. Camus.
the game day cognac, because every day is game day.
So a couple weeks ago, no, I think about a week ago, Idris Elba was named the sexiest man alive by People Magazine. And I still to this day don't know why they didn't call me, because I think I should have been at least a runner up for that award, but that's neither here nor there. So now, John Freaky, They rolled out this doll, this toy maker.
Okay.
Rolled out this doll of Idris Elba that's supposed to look like him. And I'm thinking that this doll is from the show Luther. He does a show in Britain called Luther. That's a big show. I watched the first season of Luther. Really wasn't a fan of Luther. So I guess he won an award for something for this show. So now they roll out this doll yesterday that's supposed to like Idris Elba. It's supposed to be a fully posable doll. These dolls are expensive. As a matter of fact, it was like $1,000 doll.
Wait, $1,000?
It's $1,000 doll. It's $1,000.
$1,000?
And I'm looking for the name of the actual toy maker that makes this doll.
Yeah, I know.
But it's one of those dolls where it's handcrafted and it's supposed to be like lifelike. It's supposed to be his full likeness. It's supposed to be fully posable, joints and all this other stuff, John. But the doll looks nothing like Idris Elba. It looks like everybody else but Idris Elba. It looks like Mr. Gaines. If you ever watched It's a Different World, the cafeteria guy. It looks like Mr. Gaines from It's a Different World.
Who was it with the bust about a year ago? With the
around Lionel Messi. No, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Ronaldo.
With the bust that didn't look anything
Cristiano
like
Ronaldo. Yes. And to your point, Wendy Adams.
Like the toxic of
I tweeted Montel right? Williams this morning. I tweeted Montel Williams this morning. And I was like, yo, dog, are you getting paid for this? Are you getting paid for this doll at all? Because that's what it looks like. But he also looked like a couple other people. What's the guy's name? Romani Malco. That plays
He played MC Hammer.
Okay, that's the guy that played MC Hammer. And the dude Terry from Power. It looked like the dude DA.
The lawyer.
Yes. Terry from Power. It looks like everybody else.
But him.
It even looks like the doll. Has anybody ever seen Tales from the Hood? Remember the dolls from Tales from the Hood?
Yeah, don't say their name.
I don't remember the name of the dolls anyway, Daryl. I wasn't gonna say it. But I don't remember the name of the dolls. Thank you very much. But those dolls. And it looks like Lil Penny. If you want to go back in the day, it looks like Lil Penny.
Lil Penny would be upset about that.
It does look like Lil
Yo,
Penny.
Yo, Tyra. Lil Penny would remember that. You left my toothbrush at my house.
Don't mess with me, fool.
Tyra Banks, fool.
Spend on a doll, though.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That's crazy.
That's terrible.
Is he going to be Bond?
They're talking about it.
He should be.
They're talking about it. I know Roger Moore.
I don't think it'll happen.
Was not happy about him being Bond.
Why not?
Point.
Really?
Yeah,
well, because Daniel Craig's going to do, I think, one more, right? Daniel Craig does one more, and then it's like him or Timothy Hiddleston or the guy that does Poldark. I mean,
oh yeah,
yeah.
Tom Hiddleston, sorry. From Thor.
Yeah, from Thor.
Loki.
Thank you.
Loki.
But yeah, it's one of those dolls where. You best believe, I don't know who handcrafted these dolls, and I don't know how many they made, but whomever bought these dolls, the initial batch of dolls, they're probably going to be collector's items, John, because they are going to be the first ones that they really screwed up, so they're going to have to get them right.
Wait.
Because, and make it so bad, he's bald-headed. It's a bald-headed Idris Elba. Like, I mean, I would consider myself a fan. Not so much that I know every role that he's ever played. I don't think Idris Elba's ever been in a role where he's been bald headed. Ever. And like even when he was in the Ghost Rider, he wasn't bald. He had short hair, but he wasn't bald. He's always had hair. Even when he was what? Stringer Bell.
Oh, that was it.
When he was Stringer Bell, he didn't have a bald head. That's when people first introduced to Idris Elba too, wasn't it, when he was Stringer Bell. Yeah. So this is ridiculous.
You know what I was thinking about? It was Brandy Chastain. Do you remember when the Brandy Chastain had that thing?
Oh, yeah, that was a terrible one. But that was like a plaque or something.
I thought you meant
Cristiano Ronaldo had a terrible, terrible one, too.
Remember his eye was messed up on it? Like he was
looking. Right.
That's crazy, man. But, yeah, this is one of those things where whoever did this, like, man, listen, when you're making dolls, especially dolls of color, everybody don't look like you got to put a little bit more time into it. Because that looks nothing like Idris Elba at all.
It's a procrastination doll. You had a deadline, and the deadline was just snuggle. I'm going to go ahead.
You know what? To put a little tint on it, to put a bald head. It looks about right.
Fine.
He didn't put the hair on the doll. And it's a fully, like, and you, have you seen some
Not
of the poses?
Not even the fake hair that they have sometimes on the Ken dolls.
And some people even got to the point where they had the hair. Fully posable dolls and all that stuff. It looks ridiculous. Yeah, you could even put the G.I. Joe hair on. Remember the G.I. Joe dolls with the with the hair? With the little...
With the helmet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey.
It was terrible. No hairline. So whoever made these dolls, man, y'all need to send these dolls back. Back to where
Especially
they
for that amount of money, you could have taken $1,000 a little bit more time.
But yeah, shout out to Montel Williams, though. Because, I mean, you know, they can light it up a little bit. And it could be a Montel Williams doll. That's about it.
And Montel Williams' name got put up in the news.
Yeah, it did.
What is Montel Williams doing these days?
Cashing checks.
Exactly. Collecting checks.
Collecting checks and chilling. That's it.
Yeah. No one's happier that this doll was released than Montel Williams. I'm back.
Yeah, he got. Yeah. He's getting residuals for that. He has to. Because it's ridiculous. And that's about it.
Really?
I'll be here all week.
That's what you think.
That's how you know it's Thursday. It is Thursday.
He's going to have to be here tomorrow because.
Thursday.
It's threats. Hate to inform you, there's one more day this week.
It's threats.
Yo, what's up, Pimp? It's threats.
Brian Billick is going to join us next. NFL Network analyst. Get Brian's thoughts on the Falcons, the race for the playoffs, and more. Where he thinks maybe Le'Veon Bell might light eventually. Brian Billick live next with John and Hugh on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92 on the Game.